This is Sharon, and I welcome you to today's reading of the Pantograph for Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. We begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Social Services, Tangible Hope at Home Sweet Home. Agency for Homeless sees resources grow to meet need. Since the Bridge Shelter Village opened earlier this year, and with the coming donation of Eastview's Community Center building, there's a renewed sense of optimism at Home Sweet Home Ministries. I would say it's the first time in a long time that both staff and individuals that we work with have some tangible hope, said Steve Tassio, Director of Community Outreach for Home Sweet Home, which has been providing essential services for people in need of shelter in Bloomington for more than 100 years. Besides communal housing, Home Sweet Home offers the Bread for Life Food Co-op, daily meals, the Junction Community Center, and the recently opened Shelter Village. Soon the organization will be able to expand storage capacity for clients as well as outreach services within Eastview Community Center, located at 602 South Main Street. Having the capacity, again, has really just changed the ability to provide, again, in ways we haven't been able to, Tassio said during an interview inside the new space. And so it feels legitimately like hope again. Currently, the building is used by Eastview Christian Church, along with partners like Home Sweet Home, Encounter Campus Ministries at Illinois State University, and Illinois Wesleyan's wrestling program. Home Sweet Home is expected to take full ownership of the building during the end of May or the beginning of June. Matt Burgess, CEO of Home Sweet Home Ministries, announced in March that Eastview will be making the donation, and he had his first walkthrough of the whole facility on March 31st. But he and his team are still very much in the brainstorming stage, he said. We know a few things, Burgess said after the walkthrough. We need more space to store people's belongings. We know that the locker rooms over there create opportunity for us to provide access to showers in a way that we're challenged with right now. Storage is often overlooked as a dignifying service for people who are facing housing insecurity and are in a shelter or living transiently, Tassio said. It allows them to store vital documents, swap out clothing for the seasons properly, you know, store those things that are memorabilia and pieces of their family that they're holding on to, he said. So it's a really dignifying service. We want to make sure it's accessible and each person has enough. Currently, Home Sweet Home has 50 large unused trash bins donated by both the Town of Normal and the City of Bloomington that serve as individual storage for clients. Those are currently in a basement room at Eastview Community Center. Access to the building's main gymnasium will greatly improve that service, Tassio said. I would imagine we could fit probably 100 bins in here, and people could have good access as long as we've got staff capabilities to do that. So that's huge, Tassio said. The building's locker rooms will allow Home Sweet Home's clients who are not housed at either shelter to have access to showers without disrupting regular operation, Burgess noted. We are right now offering showers to community members, I think 3 days a week. In order to do that, I have to take my lounges in this main shelter offline for our shelter residents because our locker rooms are attached to those, Burgess said. So it disrupts the daily flow of what life is like. As long as I can deploy a staff member over there to the community center for shower time, we can offer showers over there in a way that's not disruptive or doesn't negatively impact the flow of our programs. Home Sweet Home does not plan to turn the Eastview building into a shelter, though, for a few reasons, Burgess said. Namely, that would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to renovate the space and get it up to code, including an elevator for accessibility and a fire suppression system, he said. Any place that has overnight sleeping, there's pretty rigorous fire safety, Burgess said. Eastview Christian Church purchased the building at 602 South Main Street, the former site of Bloomington's YMCA, in 2022, and began operating it as a community center the following year. The building required upgrades, including a new roof in 2025, totaling about $1 million, said Brandon Grant, lead pastor at Eastview. The decision to donate the building after such costly renovations was led by their faith as good stewards of the community, he said. Perhaps the Lord let us, kind of, be a temporary holder of it, to get it to a place, to rehabilitate it, to get it usable, and then to pass it along to Home Sweet Home, Grant said. Church leadership took inspiration from a particular passage in the Bible. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah that talks about, pray for the prosperity of the city, and if it prospers, then you too will prosper, Grant said. And I would much rather our posture via the church say, how do we think about the betterment of Bloomington Normal? The church also did not want to reinvent the wheel, Grant said, given that Home Sweet Home's expertise serving the unhoused population. We saw what Home Sweet Home was doing. I think we could better serve by leveraging resources at Eastview versus trying to figure it out ourselves, he said. One potential long-term goal for the building and the parcels of land that come with it would be to redevelop the spaces for affordable housing, Burgess said. We have quite a bit of real estate that we can imagine future on, he said. Don't really know any specifics on what that's going to be yet, but I've had very early and very incidental kind of conversations with city leaders and city officials about maybe we can do something about housing on this space. It's a natural fit for this block, this region of town. But they have no immediate plans for drastic change, he said, mostly because the other organizations who are using the space. Bloomington Water tops $370 million budget. Infrastructure highlights fiscal year 27 plan, council okayed. The city of Bloomington will be entering the 2027 fiscal year with a $370.5 million balanced budget, which was adopted by the city council on Monday and contains a 281% increase from last year in water project investments. The spending plan is roughly $23.5 million more than the fiscal 2026 budget adopted last year. The city's general fund portion of the budget is $148.3 million, which is a roughly 8.3% increase over the spending plan approved last year, but only a 0.71% increase from estimates offered earlier this year. The general fund pays for most operating expenses. The increase in expenditures is primarily due to the city's historic $82 million investment in water-related capital projects that are part of a $400 million investment over the next decade. Bloomington City Manager Jeff Juergens said that if it had not been for this investment, the overall budget would have been less than last year. If we did not have to do these water projects, our budget would actually be decreasing from last year by 3.5%, Juergens said. Several contracts authorizing these projects also were approved by the City Council as part of its consent agenda. A $10.9 million construction contract with George Gildner Incorporated for the Census Tract 59 lead service line replacement project, as well as a $389,000 agreement for professional engineering services with Crawford, Murphy, and Tilley Incorporated related to the project were approved. This project involves the replacement of 603 lead service lines in an area bounded by Veterans Parkway, Six Points Road, Oakland and Morris Avenues, and Bunn Street. Last year, the city applied for funding through the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency's State Revolving Fund, which offers low-interest loans on projects that improve drinking water compliance and prioritize public health. An ordinance authorizing this funding request allowed the city to borrow up to $9 million. Because the city had only budgeted $4.5 million for the construction, the council had to adopt a budget amendment utilizing another $6.4 million in reserves. Another $7.1 million contract was awarded to Stark Excavating to perform the eighth phase of the Locust-Colton Combined Sewer Overflow Elimination and Water Main Replacement Project. That includes the construction of new sanitary sewers and storm sewers and installation of new water mains to replace the old mains, which are approaching the end of their useful life. Intermittent curb, gutter, and sidewalk repair will be constructed in certain areas. The city had budgeted $8.75 million for this work. When asked by Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady about how water capital projects would affect future budgets, Finance Director Scott Rathbun said there would be $61 million in projects in fiscal 2028, about $15 million in fiscal 2029, and between $10 million and $12 million annually in the following years. The budget also features a $16.6 million investment in streets and sidewalks, including a 25% increase in asphalt and concrete spending. The council also approved a roughly $90,000 contract with George Gildner Incorporated to repair the sidewalks along the northbound stretch of U.S. Route 51 from Wood Street to Buchanan Street, which contains 3,868 square feet of substandard public sidewalk. This work is funded with revenue from the 2026 Community Development Block Grant. Today's Flick Fact Question. So, it's Tax Day 2026. Do you know which state in 2026 has the highest combined federal, state, and local tax burden to pay in all of America? Is it Illinois, California, New Jersey, New York, or Hawaii? And the answer is, unfortunately, via the website wallethub.com, Illinois has in 2026 risen to number one in the unfortunate category of the most taxed. The big number, $13,099. That's how much the average Illinois family paid in federal, state, and local taxes in 2025, or about 17% of the average household income on taxes alone. The other states listed are number 2 through number 5, intaxability. From the back pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago, April 15, 1926, Misha Elman, the celebrated violinist, will give the final concert of the Star Series of the Amateur Music Club at the Coliseum on April 19th. This is his first appearance here, and it is certain that the music lovers of Bloomington and the surrounding territory will extend a cordial reception. 75 years ago, April 15, 1951, an emergency wooden iron lung designed and built by Eureka Williams Company employees has been approved for general use by the Council on Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation of the American Medical Association. The announcement was made by Dr. Gerald Klein. 50 years ago, on April 15, 1976, McLean County's emergency squad received the Exchange Club of Bloomington's first Book of Golden Deeds Award on April 14th at a luncheon at the Elks Lodge. Chief O.B. Streeper accepted the award from Ted Jordan, chairman of Award Projects. And 25 years ago today, April 15th, 2001, every spring, the robins return from wherever it is they spend their winters. The grass becomes green, trees bud, and Robert Thorpe, like farmers throughout the land, walks his fields collecting garbage in preparation for a new season of growing. "It's terrible," Thorpe said, from the comfort of his trash-free living room that overlooks the ground he farms south of Wapella. "It's just a pain every year. But every year, sure as the weather turns unruly and kites dance across the sky above the city parks, Robert Thorpe, bad knee and all, hikes his fields. And every year, sure as April rains and blooming tulips, he comes away with sacks full of beer cans, pop cans, plastic bags and cups, fast food wrappers, and lots of unidentifiable stuff. But this spring, as the temperatures rose above freezing and the forecast became erratic, the amount of garbage Robert Thorpe found in his fields grew to an all-time high. 'I had more stuff this year,' he plainly confessed, but he isn't sure why. In fact, he figured he had about double the stuff. Man jailed on firearm charges. A Bloomington man has been detained in the McLean County Jail after police said they found a gun in the car he had been driving. Fenrick M. Bartholomew, 55, is charged with one count of unlawful possession of a firearm by a repeat felony offender, a Class X felony, and two counts of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, Class II felonies. He appeared Monday afternoon before Judge Jason Chambers for a detention hearing. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to deny pretrial release, arguing Bartholomew is a flight risk and poses a danger to the community that could not be mitigated by any conditions of release. According to the probable cause statement, a Bloomington police officer observed Bartholomew driving about 6:30 p.m. April 10th. The officer searched the police database and learned Bartholomew had a revoked driver's license and three outstanding warrants. The officer continued watching as Bartholomew left the vehicle and entered a home on Chris Drive in Bloomington. Officers asked Bartholomew to exit the residence, but he refused, Fitt said. While police worked to obtain a search warrant, Bartholomew left the house and officers arrested him. Since he had been driving on a revoked license, officers impounded the vehicle Bartholomew had been driving. During a search of the vehicle, they found a loaded 9mm handgun under the driver's seat, Fitz said. Bartholomew had previously been convicted of a felony and cannot legally possess a firearm, Fitz said. The woman who owns the car said she occasionally allows Bartholomew to drive her vehicle, and she told the officers that the gun under the seat was hers. Fitz said she does have a valid firearm owner's identification card and a concealed carry license. Fitz argued that Bartholomew should be detained pending trial, noting one of the defendant's pending warrants included an escape charge. Fitz also said Bartholomew had failed to appear in McLean County Court 12 times. The prosecutor told the court Bartholomew has multiple crimes of dishonesty on his record and 5 prior unlawful possession of weapons cases. Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace argued for Bartholomew's release, stating he had no knowledge of the gun under the seat and had no reason to search the borrowed vehicle to check for a gun. Wallace suggested Bartholomew be released with an ankle monitor as a condition to address the state's argument that he was a flight risk. In making his decision, Judge Chambers said the defendant had been driving the vehicle for months, and he believed Bartholomew likely knew about the gun under the seat. Chambers also acknowledged the defendant is on pretrial release in 3 pending cases and is on a continuing court order in another. Committing a new offense is in violation of his release conditions and court orders. We've tried conditions, Chambers said, granting the state's petition on both dangerousness and willful flight. He ordered that Bartholomew be detained pending trial. Bartholomew is scheduled for an arraignment at 9 a.m. May 8th. Police chief cites successes in 2025. Numbers show Bloomington Police had a generally successful year in 2025, Chief Jamal Symington told the City Council on Monday, pointing to such data as a 46% reduction in gunfire cases and overwhelmingly positive ratings from the public. We had several success stories in 2025, Symington said of the department's annual report overall. He acknowledged not all of the numbers were improvements, however. According to FBI, National Incident-Based Reporting System data presented as part of the chief's report, Bloomington saw a 5.7% overall increase in incidents of the type the FBI types tracks, from 4,011 to 4,240. While crimes against persons dropped 3% and crimes against property dipped 1%, crimes against society rose 127%. Led by a quadrupling of drug offense reports from 86 to 347. Symington noted the department has stepped up training in dealing with drug crimes and credited increased efforts by patrol officers and the street crime unit. So is that a measurement that drugs are more available than they were? I can't necessarily say that. But we are addressing proactive and reactive needs in the midst of these investigations, he said. Sexually related crimes increased 14% from 119 to 136, noting that may be an increase in incidents and/or victims' willingness to report them. He said cyber tips from the National Internet Crimes Against Children Network is part of that. In its 175th year of service, The Bloomington Police Department responded to 70,770 calls for service, a 3.5 increase from 2024, Symington said. The chief noted that a survey of 66,672 calls for service found the department received 30 complaints for the year, and 239 of those incidents, or 0.35%, required use of force. The survey did not include victims of violent crimes out of concern for re-victimization, he said. The survey found 96% of contacts reported being treated fairly by police officers. 95% said they had questions answered and were treated with respect. 95% said they understood what they were being told by the officers. 94% of those thought that police were listening to their issue. That is an A on a report card, Symington said. The Emergency Communications Center, which is responsible for receiving and processing calls for police, fire, and medical services, also scored well above state mandates, according to data presented Monday evening. The ECC answered 30,850 911 calls, and of those, 97% were answered within 10 seconds. The chief noted that the state mandate is 90%. Symington said the Criminal Investigation Division, which handles violent crime, cybercrime, and sex crime, saw 1,403 felony cases in 2025, with 387 leading to arrests. Shell casings from criminal investigations allowed for police to link weapons to 53 other weapon violations and violent crimes, the chief said, including one that led to a homicide investigation in another jurisdiction. Symington also said another staff member was added in 2025 to the department's Real-Time Information and Crime Center, which coordinates information from an array of sources, such as police cameras around the city and analytics to support operations and investigations. That resulted in a 35% increase of requests handled. This is an absolute force multiplier for supporting criminal and significant traffic crash investigation in the city, Symington said. Because of their successes, over 10 other police agencies have been to our center to visit and learn some of our best practices. Police saw decreases of 46% in gunfire cases, 30% in burglary, and 26% in vehicle theft. The chief noted that gunfire data included any instant in which police could identify shots being fired, whether or not there was an injury or property damage. Last year, officers had an increase in traffic stops, including 55 more driving under the influence arrests than in 2024. It's my greatest honor and privilege of my career to serve as the Bloomington Police Chief, said Symington. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. Please stay tuned.